Well, we want to welcome you to Healing Place, and we want to welcome all those that have joined us through media. Thanks so much for being with us in your home or at work, and we just thank you, whether it's the website or through television. We are so grateful that you're here with us, and I believe that God's going to do a supernatural makeover in your life, and that's what we're excited about. Hey, why don't we clap our hands for all those that have joined us through the internet, joined us through TV. Thanks so much for being with us. Let's dive into supernatural makeover. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Joshua, to the book of Joshua. And I believe God's going to speak to us about a makeover in our life. What we're going to talk about today is the makeover of relationships, the makeover of relationships. I believe when you think about life and you think about the valuable things in life, one of the things that you always go to after you get over a few things and after you start realizing the value of life is the value of relationship and how important it is that we have great relationships in and around our world. So we're going to spend a few minutes talking about that today, right out of the book of Joshua. So I'd like to pray with you and pray over you, whether you're here, whether you're on the internet through TV. Let's just pray for just a moment and ask for God to open up our heart. Father, we pray right now in Jesus' name that you would open up our heart, that you would open up our spiritual eyes, that we can receive from you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to realize that you have placed some things in us and you have placed some things around our life. And you've done it for purpose. And I believe what you have in us and what you want to do through us, a lot of times is for the relationships that we value. Help us to discover the transformation that needs to take place in relationships. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Today I gave you a little treat. Lifesavers. Get your lifesavers out. If you didn't get those out, because we're going to have a little treat. You know, lifesavers are 74 years old. And I know my favorite flavor of lifesaver is butterscotch. How many butterscotch junkies do we have in the house? I knew there were a few more that enjoyed butterscotch. And interesting story, the man who invented lifesavers, he took it for a couple years and tried to make it happen, and it didn't happen for him. And he sold Lifesaver candy and the brand and the whole thought. He sold it years and years ago for $2,800. How many knows that was a bad day for my brother? That was not a good day. So we're going to talk a little bit about lifesavers, being people that are life-giving and having relationships that are lifesavers for those that are in and around our world. I love the book of Joshua. I love Joshua chapter 1. Many times when I've gone through some own things in my life, or I've fought some battles in my own life, or I've tried to get through some mountains in my own life, I have looked to Joshua chapter 1 because it's full of strength, it's full of faith, and it's full of promise about how we continue to move forward in the things of our life, or how we continue to move forward when we face difficulties or within things that are that seem impossible. And a lot of times that can be relationships, because relationships, not only are they an amazing blessing, a lot of times they're work. Relationships not only increase the view of life, but sometimes relationships can be a maze and you have to work through a lot of different things. And so in dealing a lot of times with life, I'll look to Joshua chapter 1. A little background on Joshua. Joshua was the assistant of Moses. Moses was a pretty strong, big-time dude. I mean, Moses was used by God amazingly. Moses went to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go. God has sent me, and the slaves that you're using, they belong to God, and they don't belong in the land of bondage. They don't belong in the land of Egypt. They belong in the promised land. God has promise on them." And so Moses led the children of Israel into the point of promised land. They went through a wandering. They got lost for a long time because of disobedience, because of rebellion. I mean, they basically were lost wandering for 40 years. How many knows if you got lost in Brule for 40 years, that'd be a long time. Can I have an amen? Just driving around the cane fields. Lord, where's Addis? I got to get out of here. Where am I going? Everybody say, God bless Brule. And so we love Brule. But you just imagine being lost somewhere for 40 years trying to figure out where in the world are you going. And so the children of Israel wandered for 40 years. During that time, they faced a lot of different difficulties. There was a young man who stood by Moses' side. No matter what went on, he was there. His name was Joshua. When other people rebelled, when other people didn't want to do what God wanted, when other people had their own idea, guess what? Joshua stood with his leader, stood by him, saw the hand of God. Long story short, they get to the Jordan River. Promised land is before them. God speaks to Moses through a circumstance and says, I want you to stay on this side of Jordan. You're not going to take the children into the next chapter that I have for them. I'm going to use Joshua to do that. You're going to stay here. Moses was of old age. He was at the end of his life. And so Moses stayed there. God put the promise on Joshua that he had put on the children of Israel. This is where Joshua 1 picks up. And it's an amazing thought. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, who was the son of Nun. He was Moses' assistant. This is what he said. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go to this Jordan. Go to this promise that I have for you, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them. Everybody say the word them. Them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given to you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness, from the Lebanon, as far as the great river of Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man, listen to this promise, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, in which God was with Moses in an amazing way, I will be with you. Look at this promise in verse 5. I will not leave you nor forsake you. That's an amazing promise in life. You mean to tell me that God is a God that wants to be an abiding, continuing presence in my life, in my home, in my relationships? How would we do life if we really knew, and if you and I really embrace the thought and the truth that God will not forsake us? Can I have a good amen? Amen. And sometimes it's hard to get our head around that, our heart around that, our arms around that, because we live in a world where relationships can come and go at times. And there's very few people that will stick by you. God said, Joshua, as I stood by Moses, I am now going to stand by you. Promises on you now, son. Verse 6, be strong of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. There's that word again. Everybody say them. Goes on to give more promise. Only be strong, very courageous, that to observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way, your life, your world prosperous, and then you will have good success. God wants us to have success in and around the world that he has put us in. Success is a Bible word. I mean, what's the alternative? God wants us to be losers? You think God woke up this morning, he never sleeps, but you think God looked down this morning and said, boy, I hope they just make a failure out of everything. Whoopee! I believe God looks at our life as he spoke to Moses and says, I want success. I want there to be a blessing on your life. I want you to walk in the promise on your life. I want you to walk in the purpose on your life. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Isn't that encouragement? I just read it and I just think, I can make it. I can keep moving forward. My relationships can make it. You know, I read this over and over again. I've read it this week. I thought to myself, in light of supernatural makeover in relationships, I believe there's no greater makeover that takes God super into our natural than that of great relationships. Many of you have a desire in 2007 to have great relationships, positive, life-giving, life-saving relationships. Relationships are one of the great gifts that God will give us. People in and around our world are the great gift in our life. And the question is, how do we keep building, sustaining? And if we're going to build and sustain relationships, then that means I have to prioritize relationships. How do I do that in my life? How do I have great relationships with my children, great relationships with my friends? How do I have great church relationships, great relationships in the workplace? Where do I look to for great relationships? The most interesting thing and the great news is that we get to look to the Bible. Because the Bible is the most comprehensive handbook on great relationships at every level of life. Because all of us are doing relationships at different levels of our life. There are different levels of circles of relationships in each of our life. The levels of relationship and the people of relationship that I'm doing life with are a little bit different than who you're doing life with. But all of us have levels of relationships, and we can learn truth. We can learn life-giving values. We can learn what we need to learn about how to have them through the Bible. Because the Bible is comprehensive when it comes to our life. God said in the book of Joshua, there's going to be a principle, son, that I want you to follow. I noticed it in chapter 1. There's a principle that I want you to follow if you want to have successful relationships. And that's simply the principle that you've got to make sure who you are doing relationships for. What your life is about as it relates to relationships. You said, Dino, walk me through that. What you mean to tell me there's a difference-making principle in Joshua chapter 1 about relationships? How God spoke to Joshua? There is. See, Joshua chapter 1 is full of promise, full of victory, full of faith, full of a mission. But you know what? It's not just for one man. God said to Joshua, what I'm going to put on you and what I'm going to give you through promise is not just for you, but it's for all the people in your life. That's a great principle to get a hold of, to inspire and to impact the relationships in and around our world. God said to Joshua, I'm going to give it to you. But I'm going to give it to you so that you can give it to them. I've got something on you, but it's just not about you. It's about them. You mean to tell me that Joshua could say to God, you mean to tell me that the inheritance, the promise, the great future is not about me, myself, and I? And God would say, no, it's not about me, myself, and I. It's about the them in your life. See, I don't know who your them is, but everybody has a them. Turn to the person next to you and say, you have a them. Everybody has a them. Your them is not my them. Now, we may know some similar thems, and we may share some relationships with some of them, but all of us have a unique them. And God spoke this principle to Joshua and said, Joshua, I'm going to use you. Whoo, you're going to see some things. Matter of fact, Joshua, you're going to fight 30 different battles so that all of them can get their inheritance. How many of Joshua could have just fought one battle to get his land, to get his place? But God said, no, no, no. You're going to fight all the battles so that all the people can inherit what I want to do through this nation, through this group of people. Isn't God a God that wants to include people? Aren't you glad of that? I'm so glad of that. Here's a thought I had. Do you know how we'll say to individuals, and we say this a lot of times, and sometimes we mean it, sometimes we don't mean it. Man, I got your back. I'm with you. We tight. If you need me, We tight. I'm the tall one. You get in relationships, you feel it. Brother, I got your back. Well, I go to the mat for you. I mean, it's it, me and you, baby. I mean, I do weddings constantly. And there's always the statement, till death do us part. Sometimes people write their own vows. That's always an adventure. Does it forget them or they stall? Or you know, when they stall, they always go to the cry mode. It'll work. Everybody gets tired. I'm just teasing. But what I love is when, you know, they'll write their own vow. They'll be like, I'm with you. It's us forever. I did a wedding a while back and somebody wrote their vows. They were like, man, forever. I mean, it was like, I mean, I want to die with you. Same hospital room. Same grave plot. Okay, that's a little much. But you know how you mean that. You feel that way. You'll say, I'll take a bullet for you. You're my friend. We're tight. I mean, I've heard people say, I mean, you think about it in life. Wife's in the road, car squealing. Yeah, she's not paying attention. The husband will run. You'll take the hit for her. Some of you feel that way. Some of you say those things and you mean it. It's just, that's what life is about. We feel that way sometimes for the them in our life. Our kids, our friends, spouses, small groups, partnerships. There's business relationships. We are tight. There's times with our children. Man, somebody comes in, get us in the house. Man, take me first. Not even a question from a parent. Sometimes you feel that way about church life. I mean, there's friendships here. There's family flow here that you sense. Man, I'm there for you. You feel that way about your dream in your heart, about the lost or hurting people. I ran into a missionary in Mozambique. He's not even from Mozambique. Do you know what he told me sitting in the back seat of a car? He looked at me and said, I hope God gives me the honor and the privilege of dying in Mozambique for these wonderful people. I thought, wow, that's a commitment. Here's a little thought I had in reference to that. We're willing to take a bullet, but are we willing to change our present life for them? We're willing to die. We're willing to take the car. Oof! But are we willing to change a lifestyle? Are we willing to adjust a habit? Are we willing to look at something present that is destructive or is deceptive or is bringing harm or is tearing down a relationship or is lying in a relationship or is bringing distrust in a relationship? I'll die for you, but will we live for them? Will we change for them? And at times it would be easier to actually take the bullet than it would be to change a habit. Come on, can I have a better amen? Amen. And so in life we say those things and we feel like we mean those things. But I believe God is wanting you and I to evaluate and to look at the them in our life. And would we make those changes? Joshua, I have something on you. I have something even in you, a call, a promise, a dream, a desire, a destiny. But it isn't just for you. It's for the them in your life. Joshua, don't leave them. Joshua, don't abandon them. Joshua, don't divorce yourself from the them in your life. Do you know what? You can't divorce yourself from the them in your life. We live in a culture that we see the fallout and the tragedy and the pain and the heartbreak because of people making decisions that are not about them, but that are about the big me. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And you see the brokenness and you see the wound and you see the rejection and you see the train wrecks that happen in relationships because someone steps outside of their them and they start making decisions that are all about me, myself, and I'm at the circle of interest. We see this take place. Joyce Myers tells a story that while she was living for herself and just drowning in her own pity, her own trouble, her own pain, her own past, said she was never able to break free in her life. When she just struggled with just, what about me? She said there was never freedom, never victory, never deliverance, never a joy. She said one day God got a hold of her. She tells a story that one day she decided to begin to look at the them in her life. Them like her children, the hurting, the world, people around her world. And she says when she began to help and serve and care and forgive, then all of a sudden when she got her eyes on the them, God got his eyes on her. Did you hear what I said? See, a lot of times, it's a me first world. When he says, no, it needs to be a God first world. And if you'll put me first, God says, then I'm going to take care of you. But I need to be the big me, and you need to be the little you. I'll take care of your life. See, I believe these are truths. I found them to be true in my own life. That when I start letting my world be about me, it shortcuts and undermines destiny that God has on me. Because God does not have destiny on my life just for me. God puts destiny on us for them. And God has destiny on many of your lives. I believe all over this house, God has destiny on many lives. Promise, mission, purpose, passion, value. God wants to help us to bring success and life-saving truth to those relationships. You say, Dina, how do we do that? I wrote down four lifesavers that can help the them in our life. Pull out your lifesavers. Let's eat them now. I'll tell you what. Some of you are like, some of you fasting sugar. You get a fast break real quick. One more week with the fast. Pull out your lifesavers. Let's eat a few lifesavers as we talk about four lifesavers for the them in our life. Here's the first one. Number one, God wants to give you, I believe this, success. And one of the reasons why, it's for the them in your life. So you want to get over yourself. God wants to bring success in your life. And it's for the them. So we've got to get over ourselves. You ever just been talking with someone and in the middle of the conversation, you just want to say, you need to get over yourself because you're wearing me out. Let's be honest. You ever been in a moment? Don't be some of you like. Point now. It's not a good church habit. There are times you can be blocked in your life, blocked in destiny, blocked in purpose, blocked in understanding. And the block is not anybody else. It's you can't get beyond yourself. Because everything now is about me. This issue, this conversation, this problem, this challenge, this struggle, this work, this family, this marriage, this children, this finances. This is all about me. What about me? What about me? And anytime you're doing that, you are short fusing destiny on your life. So we want to make sure it's about them. So much can't and won't be done if it's me-centered. And you know, me-ism, the disease of me-ism, is like a big blind spot in our life. Because it's hard to see when it's me-ism. When young people get all about me, this house is about me. When marriages get about me, marriages will erode. When companies get about one person, it's about that one person. Churches, when it's about one person, it's me, what about what I want in a church? Me, it begins to erode. And what happens is the disease of me-ism is such a blind spot. At times we don't even know we have it. It's like B.O. Everybody else knows you have it but you. You don't even know you got it. You're like, what's up? Brother, put them hands down. You're killing me. You need to put them in your pocket because you're hurting me. And me-ism is a blind spot. Hard for us to see it. See, because God wants I to die so that he can live. And when he lives, there's a blessing on relationships. I'll tell you, the second lifesaver is this. Is be positive with your words, be positive with your life, because it will affect your them. Your words matter. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11. This is a slamming verse. Write that verse down. If you did, write it on your hand, write it on the person's jeans next to you. Just try to get it down somewhere. Help you out a little bit. Proverbs 10, chapter 11. Check this out. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. The mouth of a righteous is a well of life. Maybe you're here, maybe you're watching through our website or through television. And just remember this. Always remember this little truth. An older pastor told me this years ago that what's down in the well will always come up in the bucket. So what's down in your heart, what's down in your spirit, what's down in your private life is going to come up out of the bucket of your mouth, the bucket of our tongue. Our words matter. I thought about that scripture this week. It just really brought some challenge into my own life that the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. And here's what I thought about Dino. I don't know if you want to get in on some of it. This is just about me. That if the people in and around my world depend on my lips for nourishment, my words for nourishment, would they live or die? Would they be skinny or chubby? And guess what? I want the people around me chubby. With God's blessing. Other day I was walking out of our bedroom. There's a mirror that's in a little area before. I don't know what you call that little area. I don't know why it's there. But it's like a little furniture area. And I was like, man, I could have had that in my closet. And but anyway, so I'm walking through and the kids are rah, going crazy in the living room. And I happened to look in the mirror and I was like, rah, rah. It's like horror flick in the mirror. It was me. I just thought, that's what I look like when I get all worked up. And it was like the Lord said, do you want me to freeze your face that way? Hey, kids, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many know that sometimes we need to check ourselves? The words that come out of our mouth will bless them or curse them. Life-giving, life-saving, or they'll be negative. Third life-saver is this. My them will cause me to live undistracted. When you value them, then you realize that I don't need to live undistracted. I need to live with focus because it's going to affect the people in my life. I love verse 7. It tells us, do not turn from the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. I found out that when I'm prospering in God's word, prospering in God's way, that it's a blessing to the them in my life. Life can be full of so many distractions. 2007 will be full of distractions. I can tell you this, I promise you that the devil will make sure that 2007 will be full of distractions. For your marriage, for your children, in the workplace, in your finances, with your health. You want to eat right, want to rest, want to do all you can to live healthy lives. I can promise you, there will be distractions right when you make a decision. I'm eating good. I'm feeling good. Somebody will go and place a king cake right upside your head. Life is full of distractions. We have to stay focused because it affects the generations to come. What's on this house, the promise that's on this house, the promise that's on this church, the promise that is on many of your life, it's just not for you, it's for them in your life. I thought about a couple that goes to our church, Mike and Rosie Kling, incredible couple. Rosie's worked in our children's department. Mike has been a part of everything we've done here. He was the original cooker for Christ. Just one guy who cooked. It was Mike. He helped start men's ministry. So many things. He's fought through some battles with his physical health, but they've stayed the course. 13 years ago, they came down forward on an invitation to just make a new beginning. And Miss Rosie had been walking with the Lord, but Mike made a decision that Sunday night right there at the, some of the first people that ever made a decision for Jesus Christ in our church was Mike Kling. He made a decision for Christ. I hugged him that night. He cried and said, I need a new beginning. I need the love of God in my life. I want to ask Jesus to forgive me. God did a transformation in his life. Can I tell you this? It was just not for him, but it was for the them in his life. Now he has a daughter and a son-in-law and grandchildren that are making a difference. Now he has a son that just went back to Iraq. And he has another son, Jason, who was in Donaldsonville preaching this weekend. Preaching to the poor, has a passion for the world. I spent some time with Jason this week, a dynamic young man, got a call of God on his life, has a heart for the world, a heart for the poor. You know what I thought to myself? I'm glad Mike realized that when he made that decision, it was just not about Mike, but it was about the generations to come in his life. It was for the them in his life. And our decisions are about the them, so we have to stay focused. We need to stay focused. Oh, well, it's before us, and not be detoured. Because if we are detoured from our purpose, the will of God, the Word of God, then it impacts the them in our life. Sometimes we make decisions and we don't think about the them. We go after the dollar. We go after the new job. We go after the influence. And we forget that there's a them that is tagging along in our life. Amen. I'll tell you the fourth life saver and we'll finish up. This is right out of Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. This is a simple little thought. When you do it for the them, you do it for Him. When you do it for the them, you do it for Him. I thought I did everything just for God. Look what Jesus says. Jesus says in Matthew 25, verse 40, He said, "And the king will answer and say to them, or surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of my brethren, you did it to me." You cannot detach yourself from your them. You can't disconnect yourself from your them, because your them is a gift from Him. When you've done it unto the least of them, you've done it unto me, Jesus said. Our church started 14 years ago. We were in Brother Wayne and Miss D's kitchen talking to Miss D about what was in our heart to be a healing place for a hurting world. We talked about that and talked about that. We never knew that it would be a healing place church name. We never knew anything. We just talked about wanting to be. You know what Miss D looked at us and she said, "You just described to me a healing place for a hurting world. That's what you're talking about." Our church began. Handful of people. You know what? What was on us then was just not for us. It was for the them. Who would have ever thought that 14 years later, we didn't think about it, but 14 years later in 2006, we would have 15 million hits on our website? That's how many hits were on our website this year. 15 million. Do you know what? If we'd have just decided right then, this is all for us, this is about us, there'd been 12 hits on our website this year. How many had there were 15 million and not 12? See, what's on you is just not for you. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just be real still for just one moment. I'm going to let you go in just about 3 minutes. Who is your them? Who is your them? Can we all just take a moment, just freeze maybe the scatteredness of our thoughts and bring them into the them? Let's capture all of our thoughts and bring them into the them. Who are the them that are in and around your world? Because them matter to God. They matter to God. And we need to ask ourselves, Lord, they matter to you, so they need to matter to me. I pray, Father, that you would help me to value them, for me to stay focused, for me to have words of life, for me to live undistracted, for me to realize that when I do it unto them, I do it unto you, even the least of them. Lord, I pray for that right now. I pray for that right now. Thank you, Father. Amen. Church, look up real quick, and I'm just going to let you go. I just want to say this out of my heart, is that this is not just some motivational talk. I believe it's a message that God wants you and I to live in. Because it's not really an event moment. Okay, great. This is something that we say, Lord, I want you to change the way I see my relationships. I want you to alter it. I want you to adjust it. I want you to transform so that I can live not as the center of the world, but that you can be the center of the world. You know, there was a time in my life that I was living a little moment where I just got so centered on myself. And it was me, Dino, this. I can't believe nobody around me. Nobody cares. Nobody's incompetent. I just got to do everything. I was just in one of these moments. It was just spewing. It was just, And when I finally got still, it was like the Lord said, Dino, the ride is not fun when you're the center of the merry-go-round. Nobody's enjoying it at all. Matter of fact, I'm not enjoying it. Let me be the center of your merry-go-round. You get yourself back over there on top of that frog. You go sit on the frog. Let it go up now. You do your deal. Go sit on the horse. Let me be the center of your merry-go-round. Let your world, let your relationships orbit around me and my words through you. And then it'll be a decent ride for the people in and around your world. But as long as you're at the center of it, you ain't going nowhere. Can we make that decision this morning? How many this morning would just say, Dina, I think that's something I really want to consider in my own life. Would you just lift up your hand and just say, I think that's something I want to consider. I just want to consider that about the relationships in and around. Because the people in and around your world, they matter to God. And oh, how when we touch them, they don't need our fingerprints. They need the fingerprints of God Almighty through our lips and our life. Amen. Let's stand our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just shut our eyes. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We pray right now that you'd speak to our heart. We pray for transformation by the power of the Holy Ghost. Transformation for them. Let it happen in the name of Jesus. Free us from the disease of meism. Pray that prayer right now, church. Just right now. Just bow your head. Pray that prayer. Say, God, free me from the prayer of meism. I've gotten so called up in me, myself, and I. And I want to be free from that. You've given me a great them. You've given me the value of them. Help me to value them like you value them. I pray for that, God. Change my heart. Change my lips. Change my life. Change my party. Help me to sustain and build great relationships in 2007 like never before. Won't you join hands right now? Let's pray for each other. Right before we're dismissed, just pray for that person next to you. God bless them. Strengthen them. Love them. Care for them. Let them know that they're valuable. Lord, somehow speak value to their life. Speak worth, purpose, dream, mission, beauty over their life. Speak it over their life that they will not sell out for what the enemy has, but they will be sold out to what Jesus has on them. Do that in the name of Jesus. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, forgive me for the disease of meism. Let it be about you. Let it be about you through me. Forgive me when it's been about me. I want you to be Lord of my life. I want you to be in control. I want you to be on the throne. Not myself. Not I. But you. And I pray that. In the name of Jesus, for the relationships that are in and around my world, in the name of Jesus, amen. Hey, won't you turn to that person next to you and say, you matter so much to God. Hey, if you have some of your them around you, just hug them and say, I'm not just going to take a bullet, I'm going to change my life for you. Hey, husbands, all the men, how many husbands you have your wife sitting beside you right now? Lift up your hand, all the husbands. Here's what your woman needs right now. She needs a kiss on the mouth. I just feel it in the Holy Ghost. You men are like, Lord, I needed that one, Pastor. I'll take a bullet for you, Pastor, now, baby. Hey, listen, have a tremendous week. I'm going to invite Johnny Green up. He's going to close us out. Clap your hands for Johnny Green.
Come on, don't you feel blessed this morning? Hey, we're so glad you're here. Have a great weekend. Please don't forget Vision Night tonight and the life group table in the back. All of our married couples, after that kiss on the mouth, now go back there. So, hey, have a great week. We'll see you tonight and just have an awesome week.